Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is Eddie Masonette, and you are listening to the Sip Mightily podcast. It's been a long time, I know. Thank you for listening. If you are clicking on this link and you've decided to take in this audio experience, just know I really appreciate it. It's been a while. We did 5 podcasts a couple of years ago, and I'll be really frank. I think one of the reasons why I decided to just go ahead and start recording and start this podcast up really again is really simple. It's been a challenge, I think, for me to figure out the best ways to contribute and share my voice. I have been writing this newsletter, the Sip Mightily newsletter, on Substack, and it's been fantastic, and it's something that I'm going to continue to do. But I think it's always very real. You have to be very real with yourself when you start asking what's your band, what is your bandwidth? What are the things that you can handle and how are you going to manage it? If you don't know anything else about me, my name is Eddie. I'm 39 years old. I don't look 39. Some will tell you I look 29. Some will tell you I look 49. I take both of those as a compliment. I am a husband to a beautiful wife, Paige, and I am a father to a beautiful soon-to-be one-year-old boy named Emery. I live in Los Angeles, California. Take that back, because people in LA will be like, no, you don't. I live in the Valley. I live in an area called Sylmar in the San Fernando Valley, just north of Los Angeles. If I come pick you up from the airport at LAX, just know that I really love you, because I don't just do that for anybody. And more importantly, I am the founder and creator of Brown Liquor Collective. Brown Liquor Collective was started in my basement, apartment in Oakland, California in 2017, because me and 4 of my fraternity brothers were tired of drinking Jameson and Jack Daniels and Hennessy, and we really started to long for what those other options, all of those other beautiful bottles, were on the shelf, and we decided we needed to try them. Now, we did not know what we were doing when we first decided to pop those bottles, but we got pretty lit. We stumbled from my house to Whole Foods before they closed at 10 o'clock. We killed their short bar. I think I got 2 slices of pepperoni pizza and a salad that cost me like $19 because Whole Foods equals whole paycheck. And we decided that we had a tremendous time and we were going to do that again. And that really was the birth of what Brown Liquor Collective has come to be. At the time, we actually had a really terrible name. We decided to call it the Golden Society of Whiskey Tasters because I hung out with way too many people that are into the Golden State Warriors. And also, that's just a terrible name. So it ended up becoming Brown Liquor Collective because I don't know where you're from. I don't know how y'all get down, but I know how me and my community get down. When we start talking about things that we drink, we talk about that brown. We talk about we drink that brown liquor, and that's just the way that we reference it. Now, we understand that brown liquor is a spirit that ends up being aged in wood, and that wood helps bring out the color. The spirit interacts with the barrel and brings that color, that brown color, to the spirit. And that's there's a story to tell, that alchemy that happens when those two things combine with each other. And so that is what our collective is about. And so, you know, we've always decided, I think, at the beginning, but when we started at the beginning, it was just going to be the bros, and we was going to try new bottles here and there. And then we quickly realized, like, I don't know, almost every experience is better with women involved. And we had women who wanted to be included, and at first we were stupid, like, no, we wanted to be by ourselves. And then we were like, that's a terrible idea. And then of course the women got involved, and we invited them, and they started participating, and things got exponentially better, and it's been pretty much a movement ever since. And so, you know, we have a strong online community of nearly 2,000 people across our social media channels and our Facebook group. And we have a really strong contingency here in Los Angeles, along with Oakland, and in places like Houston and Cincinnati and Oklahoma City and in Atlanta, and even places like Connecticut, one time to Marcus Patton. And so here I am now. It's 2012 and we're 5 years in, and like, things are really cool. And so I wanted to give you an update because I wanted to apologize because I hadn't published anything in a period of time in about a month. That's what being a parent will do. And, you know, my time has just not been there like I wanted it to be. And but I'm looking to try to make that better. And I think building up the courage to hit record on this podcast is a start. So thank you for bearing with me. We're going to get this thing going. Let's get on to the next segment. Let's go. So one of the things I've been really wanting to talk about was, I'm always really fascinated about all of the celebrities that decide to get into the spirit game. I was just watching Welcome to Wrexham with our boy Ryan Reynolds in his aviation gin. And, you know, I was like, man, like this dude really got his gin from a startup to like, it's basically the biggest sponsor on this show on FX that is like kind of sweeping the nation about this soccer story of a fifth division soccer club trying to break through in English soccer. And like, all you see is aviation gin, aviation gin, aviation gin. And it's crazy. And I'm sitting here like, I still don't know if that stuff is any good. Right. And then I start thinking about like, man, well, I like whiskey. Like, who are the people that are out here doing whiskey? And I don't know if y'all recently saw last year, but earlier this year when Scottie Pippen dropped his Digits bourbon. And you know, man, Scottie Pippen, one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history, 6 championships with the Bulls. Like, y'all know who Scottie Pippen is. But ever since that documentary, The Last Dance, came out, in full disclosure, I am an employee of ESPN. And so ESPN did produce The Last Dance. And so you will not hear me saying anything disparaging about The Last Dance, other than the fact that Scottie Pippen seemed to be a bit at odds with Michael Jordan and the production of said documentary and how it made him look. So in retaliation, Scottie Pippen came out and came up with this bourbon and used it to basically tell his side of the story while promoting his bourbon. Now, I don't know what you think about Scottie Pippen. I don't know if you care on whose side, who you think is right or not. Don't really care. I just kept thinking that bourbon can't be good, because why, how and when did Scottie Pippen decide to get up in the bourbon game, right? Well, the local watering hole that I go to near my house, they had some of the Digits bourbon, and they had been talking about it's actually really good. In fact, Scottie apparently came in there and was chopping it up and talking about it here in LA, this is that or whatever. And I'm like, man, are y'all just getting gassed up because he showed y'all the championship ring and he's 6'8" and y'all ain't never seen anybody like that in here before? I couldn't tell. So I finally tried it and I just took it neat and I knocked it back and I was like, damn, this is all right. Like, it's pretty good. I don't know if I'd pay $50 a bottle for it, but I was impressed. It was pretty good. And y'all know how I feel about these things. Like, look, like technically this is a box checker for me, because, you know, one of the stories that I did on the newsletter a couple of months ago was, hey man, we should try to support minority owned business, local business, and try things that are out your comfort zone. Well, technically this is 2 of the 3 for me. It doesn't qualify as a local owned spirit, but it is still considered a black owned business. And it was out of my comfort zone because I just didn't feel comfortable in thinking that this type of celebrity bourbon would actually be good. Now, it's got some notes of vanilla. It's got some spice. It's got all of those traditional tastings, the things you get on the nose and in your palate that resemble a really good bourbon to me, like the things that I really seek out. It's a little leathery. It's got a bit of a bite on the back end, but the finish is good. It's actually the type of bottle that I would love to give a homeboy of mine to celebrate something big, like they got a promotion, or you know, they got engaged. He got engaged, something like that. Like it's because it's a good conversational, solid bottle of bourbon. But it's just really come to my attention, not only with what Scottie's doing, but there are a lot of people that are getting into this space, celebrities and otherwise, that are producing quality juice. And this is where I pivot to my boy Courtney Tucker and what he's doing with Old Hillside Bourbon. Because Courtney Tucker is a coworker of mine at ESPN. Courtney Tucker and four of his friends from North Carolina, where he grew up, during the pandemic decided we're going to start our own bourbon. Their bourbon, Old Hillside Bourbon, is 2 years up and running. In that time, they have gained distribution in North Carolina. They have gained distribution in California, in Northern and Southern California, in all 192 BevMo locations. They are winning awards at the San Francisco Spirits Competition. LA Whiskey recently just gave them a bronze medal award. And the only difference is, when I tasted it, is that it was a little, the word I use is, it reminds me almost like how Chardonnay can be a little buttery. Like, it's almost got a little bit of a buttery taste, but it's got good mouthfeel. It's got a really good aroma when you nose it. It's almost the type of bourbon that I'd love to sip daily. Now, it's also in about the $40 to $45 range, so I don't think for that amount of money, it's not something that I would drink on the daily. But it's really good, and I would love to support what Scottie Pippen's doing, but I'm going to support my homeboy every time. I'm going to support local business. That's the third check mark every time. Yeah, he's in North Carolina, but that dude live in LA. That's local enough for me. And it's a reminder that, you know, when we started Brown Liquor Collective, again, like, one of those things that we talked about was exploration and being a spirit enthusiast. I'm nobody's expert. I try to tell people this all the time. I'm not an expert. I am not a connoisseur. I am just enthusiastic about exploring spirits and the industry and the people behind the scenes who are making these things happen. I'm a storyteller at the end of the day. You can get me with a good story. And you telling me five black men from North Carolina decided to band up during a pandemic and create an award-winning bourbon that's getting distribution and having real success. Oh, and they're starting their own cigar line as well. And they're dipping their cigars in the bourbon as a paired opportunity. Oh, I'm with it. I'm really excited about the fact that actually me and Courtney are going to be collaborating on an event here in Los Angeles in the future. So you stay tuned for that. And it's also a reminder that, you know, a couple of years ago, we were all really excited about Uncle Nearest. And look at where Uncle Nearest is now. I mean, they've won all the awards. If you go to Uncle Nearest's website and you go to Nearest Green Distillery, you can see the infrastructure that they're now building out because they've got national distribution, because they have their fantastic story. But I need to tell you that Old Hillside Bourbon has its story. Digest Bourbon has a story. 10 to 1 Rum has a story. Loft and Bear Vodka has a story. Bro Brothers has a story. St. Cloud Bourbon, shout out to Ray Walker. You've seen Ray Walker with Anthony Bourdain, rest in peace, has a story. And these are just black-owned spirit brands. I just had a conversation with my friend Samantha Santana about Suave Tequila, which is started out of with a group out in San Francisco that's it's a Mexican-owned, obviously Mexican-owned brand, but they're based out of San Francisco. And they're all about catering to the brown and black people of color demographic. And I'm like, yo, bring them to us. Let's figure out how we support them. Every time you go into BevMo, every time you go into Total Wine, every time you go into Specs, if you had a post exchange, if you're in the military, anytime you have an opportunity to step into that store and you're unsure, this isn't necessarily me shilling for these brands because they're minority owned, but think about how much time you ponder and why you're making those decisions. At the end of the day, man, we're spending $30, $40, $50 on good juice. Half of y'all gonna ruin it anyway by throwing it in a bunch of ice and juice and adding Coke to it. Not all of y'all, I'm kind of kidding. But you don't know how much of a difference it makes when we can actually show that support and we can help tell their story. Because that's the beautiful thing about Uncle Nearest. I trust everybody that's listening to this podcast that knows I don't have to tell y'all the story of Uncle Nearest. You know it. You know the story of Nearest Green. Hell, they've made television about Nearest Green now. I saw it. I saw Samara Rivers give an analysis on, I can't name the TV show now, but they did a whole story about how Nearest Green helped Jack Daniel in the pot still method, right? So it's just one of those things that knowing the story is half the battle. And yeah, Scottie Pippen has a great story. Scottie Pippen's bourbon is really good. And he has a really good story. I think I like Courtney's story a little better. And I'm looking forward to telling that story. We're going to have him on a podcast here in the coming weeks. So we'll be able to have him tell it directly for you guys. I want you to go find more stories for you to follow and tell. I promise it'll help make that spirit taste just a little better. Okay, last thing. Y'all send me way more questions than I can actually answer. And usually this is via DM or text message, or sometimes I get it in tweets or comments. So I said, you know what? If I'm going to start recording again, I got to start answering some of these questions. So I got a few here that I want to answer, and then I'm going to get out of here. So first thing that I got, and it's funny because like this is the thing that like I think I get asked most, and it's just such a simple question. And it's just, yo, like, what cocktails are you drinking right now? Now, look, for the longest time, I was pushing the Mezcal Old Fashioned. The Mezcal Old Fashioned is actually the house cocktail whenever you visit our home. That's the first drink I'm almost always going to make you, unless you come over to my house a lot, and then you'll get something different. So I'm looking at you, Terrence. I'm looking at you, Richard, Paul, Robin. I'm looking at y'all, right? After that, it was a Gold Rush. Gold Rush is really simple. It's bourbon. It's a honey syrup. I usually use 2 parts honey to 1 part water, and lemon juice as well. And then you just give that a good shake and pour that over ice, and boom, there you go. And then the third drink I was really pushing for a long time was a paper plane. Shout out to Samara Rivers. Black Bourbon Society needs no introduction. Always follow, listen, and do anything Samara tells you to do, because she's the OG of this space. But a paper plane is 4 ingredients. It's just so simple. You just need some bourbon, you need some lemon juice, you need some Aperol, and you need some Amaro. And it's the same thing. You shake that all up in ice and you pour it out and you're good. But the drink I've actually been drinking the most recently, I've actually been switching off of bourbon. I just gave it away. And I've been drinking a lot of sidecars. And I like to tweak my sidecar a little bit. A sidecar is, you guessed it, it's got lemon juice, some Grand Marnier, and cognac. And you shake it with ice. And then you pour it usually into a coupe glass. If you want to be really fancy with it, you put a sugar rim on it. The variation I like to do is I like to do a cognac with and I add another ounce because I like to be spirit forward and get boozy with it. And I like to add a rum to it. Evidently, if you make this with a light rum or a white rum, it's called a Between the Sheets cocktail, which is a hilarious name for it. I'm actually assuming it's called a Between the Sheets cocktail just because after about two of them, you're going to want to lay down and go to sleep versus doing anything nasty in between the sheets, so to speak. But I've experimented with a light rum. I've done it with a dark rum as well. I think both work pretty good. But that's definitely like the thing that I like making a lot. And I just want to tell anybody and everybody out there, if you are wanting to get into the cocktail game, you only need a couple of things. I mean, I think everybody should have access to some decent bourbon, some decent rum, some cognacs, like those things I just assume everybody has on their bar. And you don't need anything fancy. You don't need to be spending exorbitant amounts of money on these bourbons. Obviously, the more you spend on a quality spirit, the better your cocktail will be. But for me, almost everything I make from a bourbon standpoint, I use Old Forester 86. Depending on the drink, if it needs a little bit more punch, I might level up to an Old Forester 100, but I just really like the profile of Old Forester and cocktails. But, you know, you can get Old Forester 86 for $20, $25. For me, my go-to secret ingredients are almost always fresh lemons. Sometimes I use lemon juice out of the bottle. Don't judge me. I got a 1-year-old. Like, I'm tired. And I use a lot of agave syrup. Agave is, I think, a lot of ingredients that ask for simple syrup. I like to use agave instead, especially when I'm trying to make a boozy drink. Sometimes I don't think a simple syrup usually holds up as well. And I like the fact that the agave has a little, gives the drink a little bit more body. And yeah, it's obviously going to be a little sweeter. You know, I try to use a syrup. I don't try to use like the nectar, because the nectar is literally just agave. The agave syrup is actually going to be a little bit watered down, which is good. So that's something to keep in mind. But lemon juice, agave syrup, man, if you got those two things, man, you can do a lot of dangerous things with cocktails. So next time you get a chance, get you some Grand Marnier. That's probably going to be the only one that's going to be something you got to go get. A little cognac, a little lemon juice, a little Grand Marnier. Shake that up and you're good. All right. Next question. I am going to a bachelor party. What should I get the groom? That's a great question. Shout out to my boy Kyle, one of the homies, long time. It's funny because he's in the Bay. And I think pound for pound, one of the best bottles I've had in the last couple of years is, it's called Baller. It's called Baller Single Malt. It's made by St. George's Spirits in Alameda, California. And it is their interpretation of a Japanese single malt. It is a $50 bottle. It drinks like a $100 bottle. It is fantastic. If you don't tell anybody how much you paid for it, people will assume you dropped real bread for this bottle. It's a beautiful bottle. It's got beautiful artwork on it. It looks exquisite. And I just have to say, like, St. George's, I think, you know, again, we talk about local, like, you know, I lived in Oakland for a period of time before we moved to Los Angeles. Everybody should go take a time to go visit the distillery at St. George's in Alameda, California. Go over the bridge, get over there when you're in Oakland, and go over there and have a good time and let them show you a good time. It's so much fun over there. The things that they're doing with gin and brandy, absinthe, and now they have their own whiskey. They used to help craft breaking and entering. They actually used to help manufacture Hangar One vodka back in the day. But what they're doing with breaking and entering, what they're doing with Baller Single Malt is just fantastic. I cannot recommend them enough. And again, it's a tick in the box to local. In this case, we're talking about local in the state. But, you know, we have a lot of listeners that are from the Bay. A lot of y'all have never even heard of St. George's before in Alameda, and it's right there in your backyard. I know y'all like going to Napa. I know you like to go to the wineries and the vineyards. But you've got a dope distillery in your backyard, and I can't recommend them enough. And the shit is just delicious. If you didn't know that it was made in Alameda, you would think it was a Hibiki 12 or an Hibiki 15. That's how good this stuff is. You know, I actually think they probably should raise their price, but I hope that they don't. And I just hope that they get more distribution, because the biggest challenge for me is just sometimes finding it. So if you get a chance to get your hands on it, Baller Single Malt by St. George's Spirits, like, give that bottle to someone you love and they will truly appreciate it. All right, let's see. I've got one more question here. This question is, what is my worst experience in my 20s that I would never do now in my 30s? I mean, how much time do we have? I'm assuming this question is a drinks related question. And so I always just tell people, look, here are the things I used to drink when I was young and how terrible I was, because I didn't know what I was doing. So the thing that I used to drink when I first graduated from college and I've made terrible choices, is I used to drink cranberry and vodkas because I didn't know what to get. And then I started experimenting. And somehow I landed as my go-to drink at the bar was, God, this is embarrassing, coconut Malibu rum and Sprite. So I'd go to the bar confidently, say, I need a Malibu rum and Sprite. And I'm just really glad that the bartenders didn't just totally laugh at me, but they probably also saw, like, this young man is 22 years old. He's a fool. He doesn't know any better. He needs room to grow. And I did, because I didn't have any confidence in understanding what I was drinking and what I was ordering back then. I just wanted to look cool, be social, and try to not be overly oppressed by the dress code rules of clubs in Oklahoma and Ohio in my 20s. Because you kids nowadays, yeah, I'm about to go full old man. You kids nowadays have no idea the type of strain that was put on black men because bars and clubs were afraid of black men in their establishments, which meant that they wanted us to all be wearing collared shirts and dress shoes. And, you know, and then, of course, because we're us, I'd go in a blazer and a dress shirt and like jeans that were probably still a size too big. And I'd be wearing church shoes, Stacey Adams in there. And it'd be like 97 degrees in the club and I'd be hot as hell. And then here I am ordering a Malibu rum and Sprite. Like, I look like a goddamn fool. So I promise you, when I have the opportunity to tell my son how to do it, I will help him make better choices. Just want to tell you guys, thank you for listening to the Sip Mightily podcast. It's been fun to do this. I'm going to try to do this more consistently. Help me out, participate, give me feedback, give me notes, give me questions to answer. I'm looking for any and all feedback. Be sure to subscribe. Go to sipmightily.substack.com for the newsletter and the podcast. You can also find this podcast on Anchor, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. Follow us at Brown Liquor Collective on Instagram, on Facebook. I think it's Brown Liquor C-O-L-L on Twitter because they have character limits. And I'm Eddie Masonette. You can find me at Ed the Sports Fan on any and all of your social media platforms. And we'll see you next time. Holla at me.